I'm going to do a couple little things before we start the actual content of today's class. And the first one I want to read from Ecclesiastes 1, verses 9 through 11. That which has been is what will be, and that which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. I'll stop there. The reason I chose to read that today is because there's things happening in our world right now that have happened before, and there's prophetic utterances in the Old Testament that are being fulfilled right now in our time. Even though they were uttered 700 and 600 years before Christ. I'll give you two examples, and then we'll move on with class. First example is Amos chapter 1. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. Because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitant from Ashdod and the one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord. Amen. If you look at an ancient map, the region where the Gaza Strip is in what used to be called Philistia. And just up the coast from Gaza is Ashdod, and just up the coast from that is Ashkelon, and Ekron is just a little bit inland. And all those names were in the news with the rockets and bombings that started on Saturday. Next one is from Zephaniah. Chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon desolate. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you. O Canaan, land of the Philistines, I will destroy you, so there shall be no more inhabitant. Now, those were actually uttered by ancient prophets 700 and 600 B.C. In that vicinity. And it's happening right now in our lifetime. They attacked Israel, and the fire that's on the wall of Gaza is from Israeli bombs coming from their jet planes, which they had no way of knowing about back then. So we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the Jewish people and for Israel, that the war will be short, that the Lord will come and win the battle for them quickly, and that casualties will be minimized in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Now, the name of today's lesson.
What was the first Ecclesiastes? What?
1. Ecclesiastes 1.
9 through 11.
Yeah.
Amos
1 and Zephaniah 1.
Okay.
Yeah. They're not long. You can look it up yourself. The name of today's lesson is The Covenant People and the Promised Land. Last week, we saw how man was given dominion over the earth. The earth was a perfect place for man to dwell, and man was created in perfect harmony with God. But man fell. Dominion was given up to Satan. The earth brought forth briars, thorns, and poisonous things. And man lost his perfect fellowship with God. And so the kingdom of God was launched by him, by the Lord, to reestablish all of those tracks and bring creation back to the way it was originally intended to be. And we saw how God chose a certain people group that started with Abram. And the reason he chose Abram is because he heard God's voice and he was obedient. There might have been many other people groups who God was speaking to at that time, but none of them responded to his voice and were obedient, only Abram. And when God saw that he was obedient, he showed him the gospel in a vision, and he preached it to him, which we confirmed in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, that the gospel was preached to Abraham even way back in the Old Testament, so that everyone would have the same opportunity to choose righteousness. In his case, it was righteousness through obedience. In our case, it's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. And then we saw how the covenant was sealed when Abraham offered Isaac up in the same place where Jesus was crucified, and in virtually the same way, except that he was stopped from slaying Isaac because the God saw his heart was ready to do it, and that was enough for God to realize that he could go ahead with his plan to sacrifice his only son, his Yaqid. So everybody remembers all that, right? We're going to test you on it later. No. Okay. Genesis 17, verse 10. Genesis chapter 17, verse 10. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. God is speaking to Abraham. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. Circumcision was a statement that confidence was being placed in the promise of God and his faithfulness rather than in their flesh. We heard Pastor Gary speak about this in last Sunday's message. Genesis 22, verse 18. God said to Abraham, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice."
What was that scripture again?
Genesis 22, 18. Because you have obeyed my voice. So blessings flow out of obedience. And covenant was made with Abram because of his obedience. That's what I've been saying. Now, what many people don't know or understand, remember God said that in you all the nations of the world will be blessed. And in Genesis 25, Genesis chapter 25, verses 1 through 6, it says, this is after Sarah had died. Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bore him several children, it says. And in verse 5, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, the child of promise. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward, away from Isaac his son, to the country of the east. How many of you remember seeing these verses in Scripture? Not many people talk about it. But I want you to know something. We have a very close friend who lives in India. He's a bishop or an apostle there. And he visited our home recently last month, right during after Labor Day weekend, and a few people got to come and meet him. It was very short notice. His name is Santosh Desabachula. But anyway, he told us years ago when he was staying in our house another time about this verse and how the sons of Abraham that were born to him by Keturah and other concubines were sent to a countries in the east. And he said India is directly east of Israel, and the sons of Keturah who came here founded Hinduism. So through Abraham, we have the Jewish religion, the Christian religion, the religion of Islam, and Hinduism. All the major religions of the world that account for at least three-quarters of all the people on earth came from Abraham. And that's a more of a complete meaning of what when God said, through you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Now, we know that all the nations of the world are also blessed because of the seed that came from Eve through Abraham's line that was Messiah Yeshua. But this is something that I needed to bring up, that even Hinduism came directly from sons of Abraham. Staying in Genesis 25, verses 19 through 23. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." Obviously, it's talking about Esau and Jacob. Genesis 27, verses 27 through 29. Now, Isaac, when he was so old that his vision was failing and he could barely even see at all, and he knew he was soon to die, called Esau, his oldest, and said, "Go and prepare for me savory food that you hunt for, and bring it to me, and I'll bless you." But Rebekah heard that. And the Lord had told her that Jacob was going to be placed above Esau, that the younger would be above the older. So she convinced Jacob to put on Esau like clothing with his smell on them, and she made savory food, and Jacob took it to Isaac. And Isaac said, "You know, your voice sounds like my son Jacob, but I see that you must be Esau, because Jacob is smooth-skinned, and you're hairy, and I smell Esau on you." So he gave Jacob the blessing. And then verse 27, it says, "As he," meaning Jacob, "came near and kissed him, he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, 'Surely the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." Then Esau comes and finds out what happened. And Isaac tells him, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing," verse 35. And in verse 36, Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And verses 38 through 41, Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, me, oh, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, Your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass when you become restless that you shall break his yoke from your neck. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which was with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Well, we know that didn't happen, but there was enmity. So let's get this straight. When Abram went to Egypt with his wife Sarai, he lied to Pharaoh that she was his sister and not his wife. Pharaoh took her and would have violated her, but he was warned not to, and because of that, enmity was created between the pharaohs of Egypt and the descendants of Abram. Isaac took his beautiful wife Rebekah to the Philistines and lied to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines. Just like Pharaoh is the kings of Egypt, Abimelech is the kings of the Philistines. And the same thing was repeated. They almost suffered because of the lie. And now Jacob, just like his father and his grandfather, lied to his own father and stole his brother's birthright and created enmity between all the descendants of Esau and all the descendants of Jacob. Well, let's look at who are the descendants of Esau that fought in their exodus and kill off everything, but he kept the that started. So his brothers and his father rebuked him to Pharaoh and was so strong under only him, only Pharaoh himself. That's in Genesis chapter 41. Verse 15, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream and there's no one who can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it." So Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, "It is not me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And that's very key. When someone wants to give you credit for something that God is doing through you, make sure you deflect the credit to God. And don't try and keep it to prioritize or aggrandize yourself. Even some of the best preachers, outwardly successful pastors who have these huge television ministries and planes and mansions and everything. 15 of Genesis 41. I stood on the bank of the river. Suddenly seven cows came up out of the river that they had eaten one. And they're 7 years old because of the Spirit of God. Guard to the throne only in Egypt because it was oldest spear age.
Right.
Yeah. Most people would have said, "I've done." Yeah. What one who's the several times? It's really important because the first. Here's what happened. He oppressed subsequent Pharaoh who doesn't remember about Joseph and doesn't remember that God. And he commanded them to be enslaved. Turn to Exodus chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. The children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied, and were exceedingly mighty, and the land of me should go to Pharaoh. In the name of God. It's YH. W-H, but it's pronounced V. And so in English, to make it sayable, if we add one vowel, it's Yahweh. If we add two vowels, it's Jehovah. Or two and three, whatever. And their treatment of his chosen people. They sowed a bad, reap a really bad harvest. In their bondage, two verses. Behold, I will send swarms start up right where we left off in